Welcome to Sweet Tea and Tacos. For this week, I'm Dave.
And I'm Jen.
And this week, it's a second helping of biscuits. We had a really good conversation last week with our friend Devin about biscuits.
Yes, absolutely.
And her inspiration in creating biscuits. And we talked about her techniques and, you know, kind of what she does and she likes. And it was a great conversation. But it made us want to really deep dive into biscuits and kind of be geeks about it. So this is the food geek one about biscuits. Because there's a lot of different ways to make biscuits. A lot of different techniques, a lot of different ingredients. What are some of the benefits of ones over others, etc.? And kind of, it was funny. You got one of your recipes out of this. I got you this book one time, and it's literally a whole cookbook about biscuits.
It is. It's entitled Southern Biscuits. It's by Natalie Dupree and Cynthia Graubart. I'm not sure exactly how to say her last name. Maybe Grabar. Yeah. Anyway, but it's a phenomenal cookbook, and
but it's a whole book.
Yeah, it's nothing
just biscuits.
Nothing but biscuits. It does have a few extraneous things like some jams, and some gravies and things. But it's still just a biscuit cookbook.
Yeah, and so that just tells you how many different ways there are to do this, and how many different little techniques. And you look at those recipes, and I'm having to go back and forth, and there's just little bitty subtle tweaks, but they make a different product.
Right. And the biscuit recipe that I make all the time is actually out of this one.
Right.
Just by the way. Okay. So, I mean, I've been real impressed with this cookbook. I have no idea if it's still in print, but if you can find it, it's a great one.
We recommend it highly. So what are the kind of the different types of biscuits? And I was trying to figure out, okay, if I had to describe different kinds of biscuits, I thought, well, I think there's two main categories.
Mm-hmm.
There's fluffy and flaky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, the fluffy ones, to me, are things that I've seen in drop biscuits I've seen them even rolled out and they're fluffy and you got a top and a flat top and a flat bottom.
But they have kind of a crumb.
Yeah, they have a crumb, but not those.
Not the layers.
The layers, yeah. So that to me is kind of how I divide biscuits. You got fluffy and flaky.
Right.
Yeah. And then then when you're making biscuits, I thought, okay, how do you start out? And I think there's different tiers of biscuit making as you get geekier into cooking, you know?
Well, yeah, we kind of talked about that some ways to make biscuits can be real time savers. You know, if you just really want to kind of introduce that dynamic into your family.
Right.
Like Devin was talking about last week, the kind of church biscuits, you know, if you want to just build some traditions.
Right.
Like a Saturday morning routine or a Sunday morning routine, you know, there's canned biscuits. There's some actually really good ones out on the market.
Yeah.
And
all kinds of options. There's lots of options.
Oh, out there. Yeah. And then there's, biscuit mix.
Right.
And then, you know, things like self-rising flour.
And like a biscuit mix, would you just add water?
Yeah, probably so.
Or liquid of some type.
I'm sure I've ever used one, but I can't.
Bisquick.
Yeah, something like Bisquick. Yeah. Devin mentioned that there was, I think, a Pioneer mix.
Okay,
I think it was Pioneer brand. But anyway, so yeah, I'm not just hugely familiar with them, but, you know, it could just be a good time saver.
Right.
And then using certainly self-rising flour
will
save you the step of adding salt and then your rising agent. Yeah.
Right. And we use a hot rise cornmeal for some cornbread sometimes. You know, that way you're just throwing an egg and oil in there and liquid and ready to go. And so those are all time savers where you can kind of still adjust and maybe choose your fat or choose this and that. But then the next level really of geekiness would be the components, you know.
Right.
And just having all of the different components.
Right.
And then that gives you options of when you get into the flours, because mm-hmm. the type of flour you use can make a big difference. Now, there's all-purpose. Most people are very familiar with all-purpose and maybe a bread flour. But a lot of these, it was interesting, these self-rising flours, especially things that you see in the South, brands from the South, mm-hmm. like White Lily or Sunflower.
Mm-hmm.
They use a soft winter wheat mm-hmm. that is lower in protein. And protein is what creates gluten in breads, mm-hmm. but you don't want gluten in a biscuit.
Right.
So those are really designed for biscuits
yes.
with the lower protein.
They are. They are. And Devin was saying that she uses a flour like that
right.
in hers. Now we, and this is just, I guess, just because we like to have versatility. I mean, you know, we just buy one flour.
Right.
And we need it for a lot of different things.
Right. And really, if we want to achieve our geekiness status, if we want to fully embrace the geekiness, we should have different flours, but we're not there.
Well, yet. I don't know.
Maybe one.
You may be a more of a baker than I am, but
I've
never been so much of a baker except for the biscuits.
Right.
But we just do an all-purpose.
Yeah,
is kind of where right. I but was
even
going.
In the all-purpose, depending on the brand and the type of wheat it uses, you can have different protein levels. So if you want to have an all-purpose and you don't want to have a specialty flour and you want to make biscuits, look for one with lower protein, and that'll help you out.
Right. But I will say, and I hope I'm not jumping too far ahead, but I will say that we're very satisfied with our product.
Oh, yeah.
Of biscuits with an all-purpose flour. I mean, you know, some of the other, you might geek it out a little bit more, like David said.
Right. And these are little bitty tweaks.
Yeah, little bitty tweaks. But, I mean, if you know. For us, it works just to have a good quality all-purpose.
Then there's the bleached and unbleached.
Right. That was my next thing that I was going to say.
I'm sorry.
Is that, oh, no, you're fine. Just that, you know, some people might not mind this at all, but some of the bleaching agents that can be used mm-hmm. are chemicals like benzoyl peroxide or chlorine gas. And those speed up the aging process, mm-hmm. which can make the wheat softer. So if you want to avoid that, then just look for maybe an organic, non-GMO, and definitely the unbleached.
Right. So, yeah. So, you know, the bleached, it's going to make it a wider product. It's going to be finer in mm-hmm. texture and softer, which are all things that are desirable in a biscuit.
Yeah.
But you certainly can use an all-purpose unbleached if you can find a soft winter wheat that's lower in protein, that's unbleached. The unbleached will tend to be a little bit denser than a bleached.
Yeah.
But again, these are minute differences.
Right.
So, so what you're looking for is a soft wheat in protein about 9%. All purposes can range from 10 to 12. I think mm-hmm. the one we use is about 11.
Yeah.
So you're looking at just a couple of percentage points difference.
Right.
You know, and if really we did a side by side, I think it would be, you'd be really hard pressed sometimes to probably really be super critical to find those differences.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what about after the flour, you know, and these hot rise or the self-rising, they already have the agents in them. So if you're not going to use that, and you're going to have the rising agents. There's a couple different types. What are those that we would use?
So you've got baking powder, which has both an acid and a base. Okay. And then you have baking soda, which would need to be combined with an acid.
With an acid. So it's just the one.
Right.
Okay.
Now, baking soda is in baking powder.
Okay.
There's other ingredients in baking powder.
So that's its base. In baking powder, the baking soda is the base in baking powder.
I'm not sure exactly what.
And then
I think it was
one of the bases. Well, the acid, one of the acids is cream of tartar.
Cream of tartar was the acid.
Right.
But anyway, all right. So, for example, in how to use those, like if you wanted to just use milk
mm-hmm.
or maybe half and half or heavy cream or something
right.
in your biscuits. That's not, the milk's not acid.
Okay. So you would need to use.
And so you could use baking powder because it has the acid in it.
Right. Okay.
But then the baking soda, you wouldn't want to put that with milk.
Okay.
Because you need an acid. So you want to use something like buttermilk or you could even do sour cream.
Or yogurt or something.
Yeah. And then those react and cause
the
chemical, you know, the rising
reaction. Now let's talk about, there's also double acting baking powder.
Yeah, this what was, is that? I mean, this was part of our research that, I mean, I've probably seen that out there on the market, but I had not really paid much of
what that
attention
meant.
To it. Yeah. So basically it means that there will be two rises.
Okay.
Initially, when the liquid combines with the baking powder, whatever liquid you use, that will start
As soon as you mix it with the liquid, the chemical reaction starts.
As soon as you have that liquid. And then later in the oven, you get the second rise with the heat.
Okay. The heat is the activator of the...
Right. So that's the double.
Gotcha. Now versus baking soda, so it's a single.
Right.
So when you mix it with that acid, like the buttermilk, it immediately starts the reaction.
And that's why you want, if you use the baking soda and something like buttermilk, you want to work very quickly and get those immediately in the oven.
Gotcha.
You've got a little bit more leeway if you're using the baking powder.
Okay. And, you know, a little bit a little bit further into that research. So, you know, a lot of people use buttermilk, and we'll talk about fats in a minute or liquids and different things. And for the tanginess,
right?
Well, you've got to, you know, that base and that acid of the buttermilk are going to react, and that tanginess can go away if it's used all up in that chemical reaction.
Right.
So one thing we were reading was that maybe if you want the tanginess of buttermilk as a flavor component, you might mix a little baking soda and baking powder.
Yeah.
Or use the baking powder only with the buttermilk so that it's got bases and acids already.
Yeah.
So that acid in the buttermilk's not used up.
Right.
And you'll get some of the tanginess.
Right. And there's also ways to add even more of that kind of tangy or zingy. And you can put like lemon juice in products, you know, like in milk or whatever, and it kind of curdles it almost.
Right. So let's talk about buttermilk for a second. So
sure,
buttermilk is the liquid left over from making butter.
Right. You think of the old fashioned kind of butter churn, you know, and you're separating those butter solids out, and then the liquid that's left over is the buttermilk.
Gotcha.
And people used to save that and drink that. They called sweet milk the stuff that was directly from the cow.
So milk, our milk, just plain old milk, is called sweet milk.
That was kind of the old-fashioned term of sweet milk. But the buttermilk...
that we have today.
Yeah, the buttermilk that we have today is not true buttermilk, really. It's kind of a faux buttermilk, I guess.
Because real buttermilk has to be made with unpasteurized milk.
Right.
For the organisms and the whatever in there to work.
Right. And so what they do is they add some kind of like lactic acid to milk, and then it kind of brings out that sour or zingy flavor, I guess. But it's the buttermilk that we know and we buy in the grocery store doesn't look anything like real buttermilk would have.
Yeah. And so then there's something called clabber, which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah. And my mom used to talk about how my grandmother loved clabber. And I guess it kind of, like my mom's generation, they were born sort of, I guess, around World War II, that era. And, But anyway, it grossed, I mean, it, it grossed them out. They just didn't like that whole concept of clabber.
So buttermilk is the milk left over from making butter.
Yes.
So it's already sour. So if you've ever experienced our buttermilk, imagine even more sour. Now, clabber is essentially buttermilk that you leave out on the counter. Is that what I'm understanding?
I mean, and I don't know that the buttermilk actually was all that sour, but I guess it had a little bit of acid in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the clabber got left out. It was the buttermilk that got left out, mm-hmm. and then it kind of turned and got all curdly or something.
Mm.
But it apparently is wonderful for baking and making biscuits and things.
And it reminds me, it reminds me of a sourdough starter.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure there's really, microorganisms involved.
And the sourness and the gassiness of it. And
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So you got buttermilk, clabber, and sweet milk. So the buttermilk we're getting in the store is really the best we can do at the moment to get that buttermilk type flavor, the tanginess.
Right.
But you could also, like you said, add lemon to milk and kind of
curdle it. Or you could do, like you said, some yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
Or, sour cream, that type of thing that has some cultures in it.
Okay. So then you've got your flour, you've got your liquid, you got your rising agents, and then you have your fats. So other than your liquids, I guess fats are your biggest thing that I think you hear in the differences in the biscuits,
mm-hmm.
you know. So in your fats, you're looking at mainly butter. Or shortening.
Right.
So why one or the other?
Well, that's kind of a good question. Butter is going to add a lot of flavor.
Yep.
Shortening is kind of flavorless, mm-hmm. really, you know. Let's see. Butter is how you do lamination, which is what we've talked about, how you get those mm-hmm. flaky layers.
Because when the butter is cold, because it needs to be cold in order to work, and it's firmer, so then you can roll, as you roll it, and what you do is you grate it into your flour, and then you roll that, and it becomes these long sheets of flour, and then you fold
it. Sheets of butter.
Sheets of butter, thank you. And as you fold it, then when you roll out those biscuits, there's different layers of butter. And when you put them in the oven, they puff.
Right.
And they get so. And so in the butter versus shortening. So shortening is pure fat. Mm-hmm. It's just a fat.
Mm-hmm.
Butter is about 80 to 85% fat.
Right.
And the rest is water.
Right.
So what happens is your butter, when you're working it, the danger with butter is as if it melts, then that water combines with the flour and creates gluten, which mm-hmm. you don't want in a biscuit.
Right.
So that can be a little challenging.
A little problematic.
Yeah.
That's why you want to make sure your butter is really, really cold.
Really cold.
And you want to work quickly.
Right.
And so if that bothers you, if you don't want to have to worry about that, then I would say go shortening.
Right.
But I would recommend, and well, if you followed us, maybe you've kind of picked up on this, but this is kind of just who we are.
Mm-hmm.
We're into health and just trying to...
We try to eat clean.
Try to eat clean
try to really
and
watch.
Maybe avoid just some
And
things.
Honestly, it comes a lot from the health challenges you've had. You've had a lot of issues
just
with
because
ingredients and food.
We don't want to have inflammation.
Right.
So here's the thing about shortening and how it's made.
Mm-hmm.
Shortenings are made by introducing hydrogen into vegetable oil. And if you've heard the term trans fat,
mm-hmm.
what that means is that it's been partially hydrogenated. And it makes for a very shelf-stable product.
Right.
It's not so wonderful for inside your body.
Right.
So there are some good non-hydrogenated shortenings on the market. So if you go that route, I would definitely do some research and find a good one.
Right. And before commercial shortening, people use lard.
Right.
Now there's a product called leaf lard they render the fat and leaf lard is from certain areas of
right.
The
I think it's around the kidney.
Kidneys and they render it and then it's in these sheets and it's fairly flavorless lard. Mm-hmm.
Supposed to be, I guess, kind of a real high quality lard.
Correct. So that's kind of the natural alternative to a shortening. But again, either lard or shortening, it's all fat. It doesn't have the water content.
Right.
It can make things softer. And now butter also has some milk solids in that fat.
Mm-hmm.
And those milk solids contain sugars.
Right.
And those sugars brown.
Yeah. So that's where you get that kind of pretty golden brown color on your biscuits.
Right. So a butter biscuit is going to be a browner biscuit. A shortening biscuit is going to be a whiter biscuit.
Right. And you know, you might think, okay, like if you're using a shortening, you might think, oh, are my biscuits done yet? Because I don't see the brown color. They could be.
Right.
Because they're not going to turn real brown no matter, unless you just burned them.
And then something. So some people
you have to kind of be careful. Right.
Some people use a combination.
Right.
So that you get kind of the best of both worlds.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think probably, if I'm not mistaken, that maybe
that was what Devin does. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, that's kind of your, you know, the different, and then from there, you know, you've got the different techniques of rolling and mixing. You know, Devin does the grating and she does a little envelope fold.
She grates her butter.
Right.
Yep.
And that helps with that flakiness. Matter of fact, I did the Baking with Julia book, if anybody has that.
Yeah, Julia Child.
She has a pie crust recipe where you roll the butter out and you roll it into these long sheets. You have to almost frozen butter, roll it, do a little rolling, put it in the fridge, come back and work. You just got to keep it really cold, but you literally have these long sheets of butter.
Yeah.
And it's this incredibly flaky pie crust.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same concept. It's the lamination.
Right.
Right. So we're not spending that much time. It's a little easier to do with the biscuits when you grate it in and do that.
Yes.
But so there you go. That's kind of the, you know, the geek out on the biscuits. Everything you didn't want to know, or maybe you did want to know and you had no idea it existed. That's what we're here for. So, you know, hopefully you've learned something and Miss Jen has something.
A couple of other things.
Oh, I'm sorry. Keep going.
All right. So, all right, on your baking powder, if you use baking powder, look for one that doesn't have aluminum.
Okay, what's the aluminum?
A non-aluminum. Well, it's a cheaper ingredient, but the downside is that it can have sort of a metallic taste.
Gotcha. Okay, so if you've ever had too much baking powder, and I've had this, and it tasted kind of metallic-y.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
It was an aluminum baking powder.
Well, and then also on your baking soda, if you add too much baking soda, it's not used up in the acid chemical reaction. It could taste a little soapy.
Yes.
So if you've ever had that, that could be a part of the reason.
Right. And then just a reminder, kind of like, you know, when we did the podcast about the spices.
Yeah.
Just be mindful of how old your products are. And I would say not go past maybe 6 months.
Right, especially the leavenings. Yeah, those really make a difference.
They won't be fresh, and then they won't activate, and you know you'll be somewhat disappointed.
Well, and one more note: now that we're on remembering things on the fats. One of the things Devin and we talked about during that was the Kerrygold butter, the Irish butter,
and like they said, European butters. Have less of a water content.
Right, and that's why it was interesting. I hadn't really thought about that's why we gravitate towards that.
Mm-hmm.
But they do. They have a higher fat content and a less water content. Mm-hmm. And they're more in the 85 to 90% fat content.
Right.
So that, again, that's another reason to maybe use that in a biscuit with less water content.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, cool. You got anything else?
I think that's it.
Okay. So we hope you enjoyed geeking out on biscuits as much as we did and hope you learned some stuff and, you know, let us know what you would like to hear about or talk about or if you have any comments about biscuits or can we even take it to a geekier level? Can there be a third helping?
Well,
so that's Sweet Tea and Tacos for this week. Be sure to subscribe, send us an email. Let us know what you're thinking about and
write us a review.
Write us a review.
If you enjoyed it.
If you enjoyed it.
Write us a good review. Enjoy it,
don't leave a review.
Apparently, it helps a lot in the podcast world.
So, for Sweet Teen Tacos, I'm Dave.
And I'm Jen.